Right.
Artists, you are on day 6 of the Smartest Telesummit 2007, and today we will have Molly Gordon again and Michael Woodward in the first hour and a half. Then our 15-minute break and another round with me, Ariane Goodwin, your host on this call. Again, we offer thanks to ArtSpan.com and ArtExchange.com, our sponsors. They provide web space for artists to showcase their work. Check them out when you get a chance and see if they offer a good fit for you. Hello, Molly. How are you, dear?
I'm great. Hi, Ariane.
Listen, I'm sure some of you artists have noticed that I have an especially warm place in my heart for this dear lady for many reasons, not the least of which is, oh, Molly, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, but, you know, I feel really compelled to tell these artists a tiny behind-the-scenes story about the beginning of Smartest. May I?
You bet.
So here's the story. Even before I had the name for Smartest, I tentatively invited Molly to speak, and she accepted almost before the words were out of my mouth. She was the first expert to sign on to this untested, unknown adventure, and by doing so, she gave me immeasurable courage to keep going. So I have much to be thankful for with her, not the least of which is her gracious offerings to us. Please sample her work and subscribe to her Enlightened E-Zine for Accidental Entrepreneurs. I promise you will never regret it. You can do this at AuthenticPromotion.com. Molly, would you like me to come back for questions at the end to open them up for you?
I sure would.
All right. I'm going to let you dive right in.
Okay. Thanks, Ariane. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, wherever you are in the world. One of my favorite things about teaching in this way and brainstorming and coming together with people is that people can be anywhere in the world, and I find that really exciting. So today we're going to look at how to make a name for yourself without making yourself crazy. I'm calling it the 5 3/4 keys to overnight success. Number one, key number one is overnight takes time. You know, the joke about the garage band that is an overnight success is that they've been rehearsing in their garage for 10 years before anybody hears of them. It is so important that you keep this in mind, or you will stop before the miracle happens. A corollary of overnight takes time is that you must not compare your insides to someone else's outsides. You see people that you may feel are successful, who are better business people, better artists, better networkers, more patient, more courageous, whatever, and compare what you see on their outsides to your insides, and you lose. That won't help you be successful. So when you notice you're doing that, remember that everybody has a raw and vulnerable place inside, and be gracious to your own. Allow yourself to walk your own road and know that the places that you feel unsuccessful today are the seeds of what will be success tomorrow. Another corollary of overnight takes time is that mistakes today are the compost for success tomorrow. Please, 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 when you make a mistake, think of it just like that lettuce that sat in the back of the fridge for too long. Put it on your compost heap and let it contribute to your growth, the growth of your career, the growth of your artistry, and your growth as a human being. A third corollary, and this one is actually on your mind map, is that 90% of an iceberg is underwater. 90% of success is below the waterline, too. And that 90% isn't just the time it takes, the 10 years before overnight success. It's the character that you build, the resilience you build, the commitment you live, and maybe most of all, that 90% underwater is your own relationship to being an artist. Why do you do this work? if you do it primarily for money, and I expect you don't or you wouldn't be in this seminar, this telesummit, but if you do it for money primarily, then you're in a business, not even an art business. You're in a business, a commodity business. So go learn how to do that. If you're doing art primarily for other reasons and you're choosing to make your living at it, then before you learn about money, which is key number two, you need to get clear about your reasons for doing the work and let them be okay. Let them feed you. So this is about measuring sticks, matching, using the right measuring stick for success. If your primary reason for making art is to heal yourself or the world, then the measuring stick you should use for success is how healing the work is. If your primary reason for doing art is to express something in you, or to explore something new, or maybe to speak what you see on the edge of our collective awareness and help wake the rest of the world up, then those should be the measuring sticks you use. How well are you living up to your part of those standards? You can't control whether or not people wake up, but you have a great deal of influence over whether or not you're doing work that has the potential to wake people up. So when you're thinking about that 90% underwater, pull out the appropriate measuring stick, because if you don't know where you're successful, you will never have the momentum to keep moving. Momentum is huge. Whether you, one step forward or one step back aspect of this key, imagine a number line. And at the center of this number line is the numeral zero. And to the right, you've got all the positive integers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ad infinitum. And to the left, and if this is making you nervous, breathe. This is all the math that will be in this. There are the negative integers, minus 1, minus 2, minus 3. Every step you take to the right of the number line, to the right of zero, is two steps away from the alternative. This is so important. You take a tiny step forward, and you're two steps ahead of where you would have been if you'd gone backward. And we go backward every time we buy into discouragement. That doesn't mean you're not allowed to feel discouraged. Just don't buy into it. And one of the best ways to do this, to keep moving forward on the number line, is to celebrate the successes you do have, and that happens when you use the right measuring stick. I showed up in the studio four times this week, and that was my commitment. I'm successful at that. I learned a technique, and I practiced it this week. I made four calls to galleries. I am a success, no matter what those galleries said back to me, because that was my commitment. The last aspect I'm going to mention about the strength of weak ties, overnight takes time today, is the strength of weak ties. You might have heard Malcolm Gladwell's book, not Blank, the one that was before that, The Tipping Point. And in The Tipping Point, Gladwell examines the what's underneath trends and fads and overnight successes. And one of the big things behind these comes from the strength of weak ties. This is the what happens when people who are not deeply connected, who are not intimately interconnected, nonetheless begin to get the same message. So a hairdresser in Ohio and an accountant in Washington, D.C., a school teacher in Oklahoma, a gallery owner in Atlanta, all become interested in your work. And the ties between them are very diffuse. This is like the 6 degrees of separation. But when your work starts to show up in little places, broadly diffuse and disseminated, the ties among these people start to carry information and awareness of your work. It's like a network that starts to light up. There's a lot of strength in weak ties. What does this mean in practice? This means the way you are about your work in the produce section of the grocery store can be as powerful as the way you are about your work when you're submitting it to a gallery. And I don't mean to suggest that you have to be selling all the time. I do mean for you to notice that you always have an opportunity to feed this network, this web, with positive information and images of your work. And anytime you choose that, you are moving ahead on that number line. Let's go to number two, learn about money. You may be familiar with Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. Essentially, what this is about is food, shelter, safety, reproduction, sex, the preservation of the species. These are some of our most fundamental needs. And until they are met, we can't begin to think about needs like education, leisure, our need for creativity, our need for community, our need for personal development. Where this is relevant to the artist in money is that if you need money to come in from your artwork, you're going to be vulnerable as an artist to everything that affects that cash flow. I'm going to take a breath here and kind of regroup because this is such an important point, and I also am so excited I just need to breathe. Sometimes as artists, we live as though money is the only or the most important validator of our work. When we live that way, we are in fact subordinating our work to our need for money. And then very often we complain and become resentful because people want us to commercialize our work or they don't appreciate our work. In Learn About Money, I'm inviting you to learn how money works separate from how art works, so that you can make considered choices about how you want them to relate to each other. What this might look like is early in your career, you may choose to have a day job. For some artists, it means throughout their career, they choose to have a day job because they value the freedom of creating what they want to create over the validation of having the marketplace respond to it. There is no right or wrong here. What is crucial is that you realize that you are never the victim of the marketplace as an artist. As a creative being, as an artist, you always get to choose where on the continuum of money and art you want to live, and based on what's most important to you. Money doesn't care how creative you are. Money is simply a thing that stands for value. Money cannot ever validate your work. Money can never prove that you're a good artist or a bad artist. In Maslow's hierarchy, the way to the greatest freedom is to become self-sourcing in each area. When I can feed myself, when I am comfortable that I can stay warm and dry and clothed, then I can begin to look at some of those higher needs like my own development and my relationships with other people. So to become self-sourcing around your finances can be really important for your survival as an artist and ultimately for your ability to earn a living as an artist. It may sound contradictory. In the beginning, if you need to make money at your artwork and live that way, and if that need impairs your ability to create freely and generously, you're going to have a very difficult time showing up in the art marketplace in an engaging, compelling, and appealing way. On the other hand, when you're clear that money is not the source of the value of your art, you can show up in the art marketplace interested in learning the money game, interested in learning the business game, and ready, willing, and able to play it to the degree it suits you as an artist and a creator. One of the handouts that I sent, I'm not going to go into detail with it now, but I wanted to make sure you had material to help you put into practice the principles I'm presenting today, is a handout called The Money Breath. And this is a practical way that you can, day in and day out, go inside, connect with yourself, with your creative self, breathe, and make space for your uncomfortable feelings and beliefs about money. Doing that allows you to reclaim all the power, all the energy, all the emotional juice and creativity that can get locked up in our conversations about money. Key number three, success lives in the body. Have you ever seen someone or known someone who, by many conventional evaluations, is not terribly important, but the way they carry themselves, the way they move in the world, just broadcasts that they're a successful human being? This is what I mean by success lives in the body. At least it's part of it. Another thing I mean by success lives in the body is, have you ever known someone, and maybe it's you, who has been quite successful, has had a successful show or experience, and yet their inner experience and assessment of themselves remains locked in unworthiness or low self-esteem or anxiety about their value? When our bodies are not congruent with the external successes we have and the successes we aspire to have, we could sell all kinds of work, we could get all kinds of shows, and still live as failures. The converse is also true. You can have very good work. You can have marketable work, and yet if you live in your body as though the marketplace is an enemy, and as though potential buyers, gallery owners, reps are somehow in a conspiracy to keep you from succeeding, you will not be able to establish the connections that you need to establish in order to get your work out into the world. So success lives in the body, both as an inside job, your own experience of success, and outside, externally, how other people experience you. So what does this mean in practice? I'd like to take a stand against positive thinking here. Positive thinking, when it argues with what you really believe or experience, is just a way to make you crazy. If you've ever practiced affirmations or positive thinking and wondered why you feel worse than better, that's why. So rather than fighting old habits or patterns in your body with positive thinking, make room for them, make friends with them, and think in terms of retraining versus remodeling. The money breath from the previous key is one way to do this. It's to go into your body, to bring your attention to your physical experience when you're in pain around selling your art, or when you're uncomfortable about showing it. Anytime you feel a negative experience related to success, take some time and notice how that feels in your body. where does your attention go? Is it your solar plexus that's tight? Do you clench your jaw, back of your neck tight? Just notice and allow. Notice and say hello. Notice and acknowledge. This is not about forcing your body to be different. This is about listening until your body and those old patterns so get that they've been heard that they can release. You're never going to convince a three-year-old to stop tantruming by arguing with her. But sometimes when you make space for that three-year-old to tantrum, in fact, eventually all of them, and let them know they're really heard, then they come around and begin to find peace. So when it comes to patterning and habit, notice your patterns and habits and allow them to be there. Go in with curiosity, like you're coaxing a kitty cat, a scared cat out from under a sofa. And go into your physical awareness and explore, what is it? Bring your artistic sensibility to this, your curiosity about just what's the texture or color or nature of this experience that you're having, and give it room to speak, to move, to live, whatever metaphor makes the most sense for you, and say hello. Another aspect of success is to model other successful people or yourself the way you intend to be successful. You know, what if success were an art form in itself? If you were truly successful and true to yourself, what would that be like? How would you move in the world? How would you sit and stand? How would you be at a gallery opening? How would you be in your studio? How would you be at the end of the day? If these questions sound flaky or impossible to answer, I understand, and I invite you still to be curious about them. What if living your life as an artist were as much a matter of being artful as working in your chosen medium? There's a coherence that gives rise to all experience. You know, if I am angry, that coherence is expressed in the language I choose, the emotion I feel, and the way I show up in my body. When I'm angry, if you're looking at me, you know I'm angry, even if I deny it. In order to move into a more successful way of being in the body, then, we need to shift the coherence. And the three things I mentioned are three powerful aspects of the coherence in which we can intervene. So you can shift the coherence physically. Change your physical state. Play music. Dance. Move. Go for a walk. You can shift the coherence by inviting a different mood. What would it be like if this were funny instead of horrible? What would this be like if this were pathetic? You could exaggerate. You know, go to the melodramatic about your latest disappointment. Shift that coherence. Tell your most frustrating story as a stand-up comedy routine. These are ways to shift the emotional part of coherence. And language. Watch how you use language. I have to give galleries 50% of every sale. If I'm going to show here, I have to X. Well, have to is true as far as it goes, and if you choose to show at that gallery, you're also choosing to give them that commission. And the way that sense of choice rather than have to is expressed in your body and in your mood is profoundly different, and it will position you to have profoundly different conversations about your work and about showing your work. So you can shift the coherence of the way you are around success and failure by shifting your emotions, playing with a different mood, by shifting the way you are in your body, literally, exercise, play some music, play with different body postures, and by changing your language. You can practice this alone in your studio. If you notice that you're working and you're having negative thoughts about success, be curious. How would I be standing at this easel if I were successful? And notice, when you take on that different stance, your mood's going to want to shift. And if you're like me, you might kind of resist that. It's like, damn it, I came to this mood through a lot of hard work, and I'm not going to give it up just because I moved my eyes differently or shifted my posture. Notice how married we get to feeling bad, sometimes that righteous indignation. And be curious about how your life and your success might change if you were willing to let go and stand differently, move in the world differently. Finally, success lives in the body, has everything to do with presence and being in the present. To be a success, you must live in the present. If you bring past failures and expectations or project to future failures and expectations, you are never going to be in the place of maximum leverage as an artist or an economic being. It is essential that you master the art of being in the present moment. Key number four, let's see here. Walk your talk, talk your walk. You may be noticing these keys are interrelated. I mentioned language in the coherence of success in key number three. Walk your talk. If you're asking other people to appreciate your art, you appreciate your art. If you want art to be important in the world, live as though art were important in the world. Show us what it looks like to relate to art the way you would like us to relate to art. In practice, towards being a more successful artist, this looks a couple of ways. One is the artist statement. I spoke about this in my vision session yesterday. The artist statement is an essential tool, so powerful, for inviting people into your experience of your work and giving them a handle so that they don't feel marginalized. Your artist statement can help people understand how to walk in your shoes to see what you've seen. Leverage the obvious. Whether you are speaking to people about your work directly, writing about it, having a conversation with a curator, don't hesitate to say what seems obvious to you. Because as a creative being, what's obvious to you is probably news to the rest of us. So allow yourself to be enthusiastic and excited about these things that are so obvious. And here may be the most powerful success key in this whole presentation. What one thing do you hope that your public, your buying public, won't find out about you? What one thing do you hope that they don't know or won't find out about you? That very likely is the key to really getting their attention and respect. Because that is exactly the part that is going to be atypical, that's going to make you unique, that makes you different from everybody else who does what you do. The rule of three, please, please, please read and study and follow the simple directions in the handout on the rule of three. This leverages the strength of weak ties that I referred to in key number one. It is simple. It's, in essence, it can be your half-page marketing plan. And I promise you, if you execute the rule of three, and repeat it and follow these directions. Do this for a year. You will not recognize your career at the end of the year. As creative beings, it's very possible that you will experience boredom or that promotion can seem tedious. The rule of three solves that for us by giving us a formula for simple, repeatable, focused messages that will let the world know what you do, what's in it for them, and that feeds that web of weak ties. And once you start putting it out, you don't have to babysit it. You don't have to worry about it. The rule of three is like seeding a meadow with wildflowers. Your job is to put the seeds out and to keep seeding them and keep seeding them. So study that handout. The more simple, the more closely you follow those instructions, the better. When artists get very creative with marketing, sometimes what happens is that we confuse the public. We give them too many messages, too many options. If you're a craft artist, oh, please, please, please be careful of that too many options. It's so easy to confuse people by letting them know they can have this in 25 colors when one powerful image that invites them in is what they need. Key number five, learn how to receive and use feedback. The most painful part of promoting and selling art that I've seen and experienced is always tied to feedback. The feedback we get and the feedback we imagine we get. Feedback is simply a report from one person or institution about how they experienced your work. The value to you is to tell you if it's a match or not. Think of it like dating. Why would you want to impress the wrong person? Feedback can also be coming to you from the right person, but if we tend to be resentful or oversensitive, hypersensitive, we won't hear how badly they want to connect with us, how much they appreciate our work, because we're hung up about the one little thing they said about how we framed that piece. So feedback is all about learning to hear what's said and differentiate that from what you hear in your feelings. My husband used to tell me I have bad ears, and he was right. He would say something simple like the dishes on the counter, and I'd hear, you're stupid. And we do this all the time as artists. So just as you relate to physical sensations with this interested curiosity, coaxing a cat out from under a sofa, see how much curiosity and lightness you can bring with your encounters with feedback. And there's a power tool in your handouts for working with feedback. When you get painful feedback, judge the bejesus out of the person who gave it to you, write those judgments down, and do the work of Byron Katie on it. This is also a tool that is just phenomenal for undoing the things that keep you tied up and prevented from moving forward. It will return so much energy to you. The three-quarter key, and this is my favorite of all, is gratitude. The grateful person is always free, always creative, and always successful. And you have 100% control over the state of your gratitude. Some ways to cultivate a gratitude practice are to keep a gratitude journal or list. Just make it a practice. If you're struggling with feeling good about your career, write down five things you're grateful to or for in your work every day, and just do it. Say thank you. Keep a stack of thank you notes or cards on your desk and send one a day. There's always someone to say thank you to. It does not need to be connected to your work. What we're interested in here is cultivating that physical, embodied awareness of gratitude. You see, when you're grateful in the world, you are not needy. And so many artists block themselves from recognition and support because we send this needy, needy, needy signal that we hate, so we withdraw, and that other people also dislike, so they withdraw. Gratitude is the 100% remedy for that neediness. Other ways to say thank you: write thank you on every check you receive and on every check you write. Every check you write, express appreciation. I'm so glad I can buy this paint. I'm so glad I can pay my rent. Thank you for making it possible for me to eat, Mr. Grocer. So do this, and if it feels artificial to you, notice that and ask yourself, what would it take for this to be a sincere action? And just stay in that conversation. Say thank you for feedback. When you don't know what to say, just say thank you. You don't have to explain or defend when you receive feedback. All you say is thank you. And when people ask questions, I don't know about you, but I used to have a horrible time with people asking questions about my work. After a certain point or on some days, they irritated me. They made me nervous, anxious, and defensive. What I've learned to do is the first thing is to say thank you for asking that question, if I feel any discomfort whatsoever. And in saying that, something in me moves, and I can begin to treat the question as a little package that the questioner and I can open together. It's an opening. It's something to be grateful for. And now I'm imagining that Ariane is back, and it's question time.
Well, yes, Polly, I'm here. You want me to open up?
I do.
All right. Just to review this mute-unmute business, I'm going to unmute us, and when I do, all of the artists who do not want to ask a question, make sure you hit *6, and we'll wait a second for you to do that. The ones who want to ask a question, do not hit *6. All right, here we go. Okay, great.
We've got some musical, some performance.
I feel like I should be doing a little tap dance. Okay, if you have a question, say your name first so I can acknowledge you, and that means I can hear you. Someone
Amadea.
Have a question? Amadea, go for it.
Hi, Molly.
Hello.
You know, I don't have a question, but I just felt moved to say thank you. Because every single thing you said spoke to me so deeply.
Oh, sweetheart.
And I just am so grateful for this just information and all these incredible things to contemplate. And I've just been sitting here in tears for the last half hour, and the depth with which you speak and the issues that you're talking about are just so profound for me.
Mm.
And I'm just really, really grateful.
Oh, thank you so much. You've
made my week.
I've been painting
for many years, and I've come up against a lot of obstacles, and this is just so valuable for me right now. So that's all.
I'm so glad. It makes me feel so good to know that your creativity may have a little more space and grace to take shape in the world.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Who's next?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Actually, this is a question for Ariane. It's Dana.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks, Molly. I echo the Amadea's feelings. And this sort of ties in. Ariane, a few days ago I sent you an email regarding possibly setting up a forum for the people involved in the Telesummit so so that we could continue to connect and support each other through, you know, who knows how long of our careers. And because I think we all do need to, you know, lean on each other when things get rough or get advice and so on. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Oh, have you not received my, I've sent you two responses,
did
I think,
you?
Now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't think I did. I'll
okay.
have to double-check in my bulk folder, but...
You might want to do that. So the first response is, I couldn't be more grateful for you to bring it up, and I've been aware of this from the beginning. We are actually in the process of creating a form.
Oh, awesome.
It's needing to be developed, and so we're still at that development stage.
Okay.
If for some reason it doesn't happen, I'm hoping it happens tonight, and tomorrow we can talk about how to move forward. We are going to create a sort of smartest alumni group.
Good.
And I will be in touch with everybody about that. Thank you for bringing it up. Now, does anyone have a question for Molly?
This is Suzanne in Colorado.
Yes,
I wouldn't say a question, but more a comment that this is very interesting because, of course, the hook is waking up an overnight success. And, you know, very often, I think for me, I've looked at money as one measure of success. And the piece on how are you measuring your success and why do you do your art was very profound for me, and I sort of realized that I really do my art to heal myself and to express myself, and so to use money as the measure of success is really, it's really a falsehood for me. So anyway, at one point in the discussion, I started going, well, this isn't about being an overnight success, and then it sort of hit me.
It's
about waking up an overnight success, no matter what your circumstances are. So thank you. It was very very profound. And
you're welcome.
I really got a great deal out of it.
Good. And you know what's I've seen time after time, and I can't say that this is going to happen to everyone, but so often when we realize that we are successful because we are doing what we said we wanted to do, then the financial success follows. So, go figure.
Thank you. And someone else have a question? Okay, if somebody else has a question and we're not hearing you, you're going to need to hit *6 to unmute yourself. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Paula.
Who is this?
Yeah, this is Paula Zima. I have a question. I was just wondering if she could, Molly, talk just a little bit
Paula,
more.
Paula, we're not hearing you loudly enough. Try again.
Okay. I'm wondering if Molly could speak just a little bit more about, she was talking about the way you are with your work in the studio as being as powerful as the way you are when you're walking around the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit. I thought that was really intriguing. I was writing away at the same time, and I just wanted to hear a little bit more about your
Certainly.
Thoughts on that.
Whether you're in the produce section of the grocery store, in your studio, or standing at an art opening, the way you hold yourself when you are relating to your art has the same effect on your success. So no matter where you are, the way you hold yourself in your body and the way you think about yourself as an artist affects the degree of success you have in the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you can practice then in these safer places. You know, standing in an opening for me was always a kind of high-stress place. But I could practice how I wanted to be when I was in my studio or on my daily walk.
That makes it really all-encompassing. That's really great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I have a question, if I may.
Yes, this will be the last one we'll be able to take. Who's speaking, please?
My name is Paige.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Molly, thank you. This has been really fantastic. I had a question about the top left branch.
Yes.
What's the one thing I hope that people don't know about me?
Yeah.
And I was really soul-searching that, but the first thing that really popped into my head was that I don't work in my studio enough. I do business, and I do promotion, and I do all these other things that pull me away. And I don't want a collector to think that I don't actually work like I want.
So,
How could that be beneficial?
as a collector, that could tell me that you are such a good steward. You're so committed to your work that you're willing to do what it takes to be a good steward.
Okay. I feel like it's such a negative.
Oh, I see it as incredibly powerful. It's a, I care about my work enough that I will do all of these things to see that it goes into the world smoothly. And I also care about my collectors and the art world enough that I will do my share to make that happen.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Molly. That was just incredible. I'm going to put us back on a global mute. Hang on. That last question that Molly answered, I just want to say, if you can take that, she just gave you a beautiful example of how to take what for you is striking you as a negative and flip it so that you can see it from another perspective and just play with that. It may take a while for you to flip. Molly's had a lot of experience flipping, so she makes it look gosh darn easy. It isn't always, but just play with it and see how many ways you can flip it so it turns into the different message that you're giving yourself. Molly, thank you. As usual, you know, you touch hearts and you touch souls and you touch minds all in one, and bodies, as you say, all in one breath almost. And we're all so much the richer for it. My dear, thank you. Have a great rest of the day.
You bet. Thank you for this opportunity. And everybody, just best wishes and blessings on your careers. Bye-bye.
Bye, Molly.